Grief is a natural part of life, and we all experience it at some point. By becoming aware of our emotions in the process of grief, we can begin to accept and move through our pain. Acceptance doesn't mean that we forget or stop feeling the loss, but it allows us to come to terms with it. And finally, we can choose to honour our loved ones by celebrating their life and finding meaning in our grief. Join me as we explore these pillars of grief and how they can help us navigate the journey of grief. We will explore this journey together, and you will hear from experiencers, experts, and researchers. I'm Jock Brokas, and this is The Pillars of Grief. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Pillars of Grief. First of all, there's been a lot going on personally. So I haven't been on for a moment or two with various losses and things in the family, as well as helping other people who have lost loved ones as well. So a few housekeeping issues here that I'm announcing. That I have a massive waiting list for people that are looking for readings and things. So one of the things that I'll be announcing from here is that I will no longer be taking on public bookings, public readings. The only way that people will be able to get a message, be able to get a private sitting with me, is to be part of my online community, part of my grief community, which is free, but it's the only way that that's going to be able to occur. I'm going to stop taking bookings from my websites, and I will only help those that are within that community, because it gets too out of hand, there's so many people waiting, so many people connect, and I'd rather support my community more than anything else. So that's just a few other things to look forward to. And then obviously the only way to do that is through my community, or when I'm doing workshops or doing retreats, then that's the only other way that you'll be able to get private sittings with us. Anyway, today what we've got is an interesting episode. We're going to be talking about pets in the afterlife, and what your pets mean to you, signs, do they go to heaven, or as we would tell you, might not believe in a heaven, might be in a spirit world, no matter what you term it. But that's what we're going to do. So make sure you listen all the way to the end. I'll have another message at the end as well for everybody. And when we come right back, we're going to jump right into it and try and cover as much as we possibly can about animals in the afterlife, pets in the afterlife, signs from them. And is it real? And can you get evidence from your loved pet on the other side? So when we come right back, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're going to jump right into. God bless. Are you struggling with grief? Hi, I'm Jock Brokas, a grief researcher, author, spiritual mentor, and renowned evidential medium. Join me on the Pillars of Grief podcast. Through personal teachings and interviews with experienced researchers and educators, I will provide valuable insights and support to help you navigate your journey through grief. I will answer the questions you yearn to be answered, and I'll help you understand your journey. Listen and subscribe to the Pillars of Grief podcast today on your favorite platform, and start navigating your journey through grief. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So thank you for being with me. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. And if you're watching the video on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel as well. And all of you who have joined recently and sent me lots of questions, please know that I will be getting back to you as I always do, as soon as I possibly can. And of course, if you're part of that, my grief community, you can get access to me a lot easier than you can from public websites, etc., etc. So, and again, as I said, that's absolutely free. So we're going to jump into talking about your pets. There's so many people, we lose a loved one and it affects us in so many ways, so many deep, deep ways, right? It's such a traumatic thing to go through, but losing a pet can just be as traumatic, right? Because whilst there's a lot of people there that don't maybe see pets as being family members, the reality is that many people do see their pets as family members. So many individuals have a deeper connection to their pet than they do to their friends, or they do to even some of their family members. So people can be just as distraught in losing a beloved pet than anything else. And whilst that might seem shocking to some people, to others, it's going to be natural. I mean, I've had dogs in my past, and, you know, I've lost a couple of dogs as well. And that affects, you know, affects you in some ways. Maybe it hasn't affected me as deeply as losing, you know, my father, or losing a friend, or my uncle's just recently passed, who was like a father to me. One of our best friends had just recently passed as well. So that's different. But my friend that passed, Sheila, she really, 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 really loved her dog. I mean, it was part of her family. And she grieved the dog just as much as she would grieve anywhere else. And I'm going to jump into, you know, whether our pets can communicate with us. It's something that I want to kind of jump into as well. But there were so many questions. I remember when Sheila was here, we talked so much about her dog, Rory. And I could feel from her that it was such an important part of her life that she just couldn't bear losing that dog. And often people, they go through that loss, and it's just as traumatic as anything else. And sometimes, and a lot of people will turn around and say, well, you know, you can just get another dog. But you can't, because that dog or that cat or that whatever that pet that you love had its own characteristics. It had its own personality, just like your loved one has their own personality, whether it's a sibling, a parent, or, you know, they have their own personality. There's things that you love about them and things that annoy you about them. And so you create this psychic bond, this soul connection. And when you lose that connection, whether it's a pet or whether it's a loved one, a brother, a sister, a mother, a friend, it affects you in so many ways. And I mean, aside from Sheila, my best mate Rob, he still thinks about his dog, his husky, and often reminisces memories. You know, we have memories with our pets. I have memories with my pets, and great memories. These are things that bring us joy. So when we lose that aspect, we think, you know, we feel as if we're losing our joy, we're losing our peace. I was thinking this morning when I was sitting outside, you know, if you don't have peace in your heart, peace in your life, you don't really have anything. Materialism and everything aside, peace in your mind, peace in your heart is priceless. It's worth everything. And so when we have something that disturbs us, such as a loss of a loved one, loss of a pet, that can cause us a great deal of anxiety, and it can cause us a great deal of suffering. So I've had a lot of questions that have come in to me about pets in the afterlife, and, you know, whether pets have a soul, whether we have a soul. That's going to be another discussion, because it may not be exactly what you think, and I'm looking forward to bringing that up. But here's the one. I'm going to go through some of the things that I've covered and some questions that I've asked. And for those of you who have got pets or who have lost pets, as we talk about some of the stories, examples, you know, I won't try and keep you guys too long, but as I talk about some of these examples, I'd love you to get in touch with me and tell me of your pet story of, you know, visiting you from the afterlife or stuff like that you got. So anyway, let's kind of jump into it. So I was asked a question once, if pets actually know if they're ill and the pets actually know if they're passing. And I would say absolutely, yes. I mean, I've had friends of mine, colleagues of mine, who know that there's an illness in their dog and, you know, it's changes in their behavior. And it's not just a case of they're ill, they don't feel anything, and then they pass over and that's it. There's been examples where, like a friend of mine, her dog held on. Really, the vet was like, you know, they're going to be gone very quickly, so the quicker you can get here, the better. And my friend couldn't get to the vet, couldn't get there, and was going to be late, going to be time, but The vet really expected the dog to pass very, very quickly. There was no euthanasia or anything like that. It was an illness, you know. But it didn't. It didn't pass when the vet was thinking. It didn't. It actually, the dog passed when my friend, the owner, came in. When the dog had seen her and connected with her, it was almost like it was given permission. The dog held on right to the end until it's seen its owner. Because remember, you may create a bond to your pets and they become like family. Often we don't think that the pets create a bond to you and you're their family. So in the same way, there's many examples, and I can give you tons of examples where loved ones have hung on in the hospital until their loved one who's on this side of the earth plane gets there so they can say their goodbyes. And there's also examples where they pass because they don't want to see them passing, or, you know, it would have been too traumatic for that loved one. But there's many examples where someone has held on. They've held on till that last minute until their loved one gets there, and then they pass. Sometimes we don't get that opportunity to say goodbye. I didn't get that opportunity to say goodbye with my dad, and I wouldn't want him to kind of hold on until I get there, besides the fact we'd fallen out beforehand anyway. But our loved ones, there's many examples where they held on. And I'm sure people out there that are listening to this, you'll get in touch with me and you'll tell me about your gran who had held on, your granddad or your mother or your brother, and they'd held on until the end, until you were there, till they got to say their goodbyes. That's the power of the human spirit, ladies and gentlemen. Well, that exists in our pets as well. There's many, many, many examples where our beloved pets have held on and they wait until their loved one gets there. Their family, so to speak. And then it's almost like they're given permission to cross over. And we've heard this saying, cross over the rainbow bridge. It's a great analogy of having that crossing of your pet. I wrote an article once many years ago in another magazine, and it was about that, about pets crossing over. And I created this, there was this image. As many people know, I love photography, and I'd created this image with this dog, and it was kind of crossing the bridge in the forest, and the sun was coming through the trees. It was really beautiful. It was very indicative of this whole easy way that the pets will cross over. But then it comes to the question then, ladies and gentlemen, is can they communicate with you? Wow. Well, that's something in itself. And I remember being asked by someone in a city, like, I don't want to connect with my loved one. I don't want to connect with my husband, or I can't actually remember what it is, but I want to connect with my dog. And I'm like, what? I don't speak doggy language, and I certainly don't speak cat language or any other. I don't speak cat language. So I was kind of flabbergasted, and I didn't think I could do anything. I honestly didn't think I would be able to communicate in any way. And for those of you that are out there, please don't come to me looking for a reading for your pet. I don't do it. There's great mediums out there that will do pet sittings and pet readings. It's not my thing. I prefer to deal with discarnate beings that have walked the earth as a human. And, you know, and I can get evidence and stuff without them. So please listen to this. Don't ask me questions. Absolutely. And don't ask me to give you a full sitting from a pet, because it's not something I'm comfortable with. But I have done it, right? I have done it. And I've had pets come through and give evidence. We'll go into that in a little bit, but I truly do actually believe that, in fact, no, I'm going to rephrase that. I know our pets exist in the afterlife just as our loved ones do, because I've witnessed examples of it. And I know that we're all interconnected anyway from any, you know, for a near-death experience I had. I know that there's this interconnection, there's this non-separation of anything, really, in all honesty. So yeah, I do know that they cross over that bridge and they go to the other side. And in the same time, too, when you have pets show up in sittings for loved ones, it kind of proves something as well. And so the reality is, you know, before I go into the evidence and the stories of evidence, is will our pets, when they cross over, I get this all the time, will they visit us, Jock? You know, will I be able to feel them? And my answer again to that is categorically, yes, you can. And, you know, whilst I don't speak doggy language, there has been evidence that have come through in sittings where there's been visitations. And so there's many ways, there's many signs. I'll share a little story of a sitting that I did for someone, and I kind of connected and got their pet and the other side, and they had communicated. I'm not saying that the dog had communicated with me, but I had this community. I had the communication. I had the information and the way that it would come clairvoyantly, clairaudiently, whatever way that was getting distilled. And the interesting thing was that the dog had a particular trait, and the trait would be that it would nudge its bowl, and it would always nudge its bowl before even eating out of it. It was just that one little thing. It wasn't like, you know, you see dogs and they just dive into their bowl and everything else. It had this trait where it would nudge it and then it would eat every time. And that became quite evident in the sitting. And the interesting thing was the person who was actually having their experience with me at the time, they had said that since their beloved pet had passed, they actually witnessed and they saw the bowl move without the agency of anything being there. And they had actually heard the bowl being nudged. Beyond this podcast, my work involves delivering thought-provoking talks and workshops which are deeply rooted in my experience and extensive research. My objective is to bring a profound understanding of grief to your organisation, turn an adversity into strength, resilience and growth. I can help you forge a compassionate and supportive environment that encourages emotional resilience. We will create sustainable solutions for managing grief and loss. Understanding grief isn't a luxury, it's a necessity, a fundamental aspect of our human experience that directly impacts our work lives. As leaders, your comprehension and management of grief can be transformational for your organisation. I invite you to collaborate with me on this journey. Contact me at jockbrokers.com. Now, before we get into the whole paranormal, parapsychology field of anything like that and looking at all the science of it, just take all that aside for a moment and let's just think about it. The dog had a particular trait. The trait was that it nudged its bowl before it ate every time. The loved one was distraught. Before you try to say, you know, they kind of made it up themselves or they were expecting it, just think about the comfort that it held for them. And there was more information with that. They witnessed the bowl moving objectively, not in a dream, right? Objectively, they witnessed it. So we have an interplay now between our pet in the afterlife and our pet being able to kind of manifest energy in the physical world. Now, some of you might say, well, it could be a guide, it could be a loved one on the other side. Yes, it could. Who cares? The reality was the pet, you know, if I'm going to fall on the idea that it was the pet, and from the evidence that we got, I'm going to say that. And as I said, I don't speak doggy and I'm not really into that type of thing, but the evidence was strong enough. Okay, so you've got to understand that. So when that trait comes through and that person is witnessing it objectively, tells you that there's an objective, there's an interplay between the afterlife and in the material world right there, right? Secondly, you know, from just that story, that evidence alone, that could be one sign. That's the type of sign of a visitation. The other signs that some people have had where they've lost their cats or something and maybe the cat had a particular behavior or the dog had a particular behavior, they still feel the presence around them. I know of another friend of mine who lost their pet, and again, another dog, that they would feel them coming around their feet. And even though they had been gone, they were not there, but they could still feel them coming around their feet. Now, again, you can be as skeptical as you want, but when you're suffering from grief and you're suffering from loss, and anything that gives you that level of comfort is fair game. Yes, you can make things up in your mind. I understand that. But when we're talking about certain patterns of behavior between yourself here and your pet when they were here, and then that behavior being mimicked from the afterlife engaging in the physical world, then one must have to kind of think, well, wait a minute, there's something in this. Yeah, I you know, whatever Molly or whatever the dog, you know, would go around and they would feel them. And just like we lose a loved one, we can feel the touch of your loved one. You know, many people would feel the touch of the loved one on their head, or maybe the you know, your father had a particular trait where he would kind of, you know, grab your arm just to give you that reassuring pat, or your shoulder or something. You know, you may feel that again. So again, we have this interplay between the dimensions. We have this interplay between the afterlife and the physical life. And so these are another sign. These are signs that's there. And there's many other ways that we can look at these signs of visitations as well, because I did a video a long time ago about dreams and how we dream and why we sometimes miss out on our dreams. We don't dream about our loved ones, and when we do, it's the same with our pets as well, because there's been many instances where pets have showed up in people's dreams. And it feels so lucid and so real that I would wager is, you know, a visitation of your beloved pet in the afterlife. And you can be guided to certain signs. Maybe you're out shopping and, you know, you see, you know, pass a pet store or you pass a gift store, and maybe your pet's name was Benji, and there's a picture of a dog and on the window or something that says Benji, you know. There could be many different ways that you get drawn to a particular sign. And whilst a lot of people might say, well, that could come from your guides or from your loved ones, I get it, I understand that. But there is a knowing deep inside of you that is your pet in the afterlife. And many times I used to give, you know, I would give sentence to Sheila and stuff, and Rory would make an appearance and give evidence. And this kind of brings me to another potential thing to think about. And actually, I did a scientific test many, many years ago with a science friend of mine. And we identified if we could get evidence from the other side, from the pet. And rather than me going into all of that story, if you want to read about that, then there's that magazine that I wrote for, New Dawn Magazine, is up in my website. And if you are a member of my community, you can reach out to me and I'll give you the password to go and read that magazine and read that article. If you're not a member of the community and you would like to read it, then you can message me through my site and I'll give you access to that. And it talks a little bit more about that test that we did. But there was, you know, evidence that came through, and that kind of also gives me confirmation and validates information regarding our pets in the afterlife, pets in the other side. And there's been cases where I've also helped people with missing pets. Now, please, if you've gone missing, don't get in touch with me for that either. This is one-off things where I've been involved with. It's not something I do. There's so many people who are waiting on sittings and stuff like that for me. I don't have time to do that. But I have worked with that in the past. And again, that evidence has been verifiable and helped to bring closure in terms of any missing pets and things like that. So the reality is that your pets will communicate with you just in the same way that your loved ones are going to communicate with you. Yes, they do exist in the spirit realm, in the afterlife, in the other side. The analogy of the Rainbow Bridge is true. It's beautiful, sorry, but we don't know where that actually came from. It's just a beautiful analogy. There's maybe not actually really any truth to it, but it's a great, and in terms of what I mean is that there's maybe not a rainbow bridge as such. that they cross over. It's just an analogy that gives us a way of understanding and having closure to that thing. And it's beautiful. But in the same way that you, your loved ones would pass over, then so do your pets as well. And especially when they've had a deep connection to you and a soul connection to you. It's important to understand that, and for you guys that are out there that maybe can't cope with someone grieving just as hard of losing a pet than they're losing maybe a loved one, you know, a member of the family or something, just realize that that pet was a member of their family. And your pets, you're their family. As I said, that's a connection that's not going to separate, just as that love bond exists between you and your loved ones, it's going to exist between you and your pets. So I've had many, many, many examples where pets have come through. I've had many, many. I'll share another little story with you. There was, and how can your pets communicate that your loved one is around? Well, this is a beautiful story, actually. Many years ago, I gave a sitting to a woman. She had lost her husband, and her, the beautiful thing was is that she had the two dogs, right? And I've actually got a picture of them somewhere because she had the sitting and she sent me a picture of the dogs. And during the sitting, her husband would talk about the dogs, that he would meet the dogs at a certain time, all the time. And it was really weird because she had mentioned afterwards, she had said to me that the dogs at a certain time would go and sit by the chair and look and stare at the chair. At a certain time, I don't know whether it was every day or whether it was every week, but there was a certain pattern. And he communicated from the other side that that was him visiting. And so that was a great sign for her to realize that her husband was visiting, because the dogs would essentially, at this particular time, at this particular juncture, would go and sit perfectly still. And she's got a picture that she sent me, a picture of them. It was amazing. And sit perfectly still in front of the chair and stare at the chair. And I can't remember totally, but I actually think it was the chair that her loved one used to sit in. But that behavior wasn't a normal behavior for the dogs when he was there. The dogs wouldn't just go and just sit the way he would sit, the way they would sit now, and just stare at him. It just didn't happen. But it did, after he passed, yes. And then there was other evidence that came through that corroborated that information. So I think that's beautiful. So I think your pet, if your pet's still alive here now, your pet can be the bridge to your loved one. Not just a rainbow bridge where the pet crosses over, but your bridge can be, your pet can be a bridge to your loved one. Your pet can be the catalyst to you recognizing signs that your loved one's around you, just by the way that maybe your dog or your cat would exhibit their behavior in a weird way. And there's been many, many examples. And of course, there's going to be skeptics that will say, well, something about the retina and the eyes and the lights and the trick and everything else. But when you've got other corroborating evidence and you've got other patterns that kind of fits into it, then the reality is that it's them and they're in visitation. And so I would watch out for that, ladies and gentlemen. I would watch out for, just like that woman who witnessed that with her dogs and how strange it was. It brought a level of comfort that was really awesome. And to have that corroborated was awesome. And there's many examples where your pets, you know, they'll come through to you in your dreams. Here's the other thing. And you may have, how your pets on the other side can communicate with you is by giving you signs, and maybe just not the sign of the bowl or in your dream, but you just maybe, for instance, doing something nonchalantly and all of a sudden you get a clairvoyant image in your mind and it's really strong and you feel this connection, this deep love connection, then that's a way of your pet expressing that love from the other side to you, giving you that clairvoyant image, giving you that image in your mind. You may smell your pet. There's a clairolfactance, clairalience and clairolfactance. Clairolfactance is maybe, so you could have a gift of smell. You may have maybe smell your pet around, and it may not be just a musty, it may be a unique smell that you would have. It could be that you would hear something in your mind, maybe a bark, maybe a noise that your pet would have made when they were here. You could hear that noise. And that's another way of you getting signs there. So in the same way that we communicate with our loved ones, in the same way that our loved ones give us signs from the afterlife, then in the same way, we can get that connection and those signs from our pets in the afterlife. Now, as I said, I'm not an expert in the pet field, but I have taken part in some tests and some various other things that have been very successful. And if you want to read the article, then get in touch with me and I'll give you access to the article that I wrote for that magazine. You can read it and you can learn more about it and learn about a little bit more of the stories and a little bit more of the work that we did. It's important to understand, guys, you guys that lose your beloved pets, I see you. I hear you. I understand how devastating it can actually be. But in the same way that you are looking for signs from your loved ones, then open your heart and your mind, because you will get signs from your pets on the other side as well. It may be that they curl up with you on the bed. It may be that they curl around your feet. It may be that you hear them. It may be that you get a clairvoyant image of them. It may be that they come through in a reading or a sitting that you're having. It may be that you objectively see signs of them around. Maybe, just maybe, they're already trying to communicate with you and you're missing it because you don't think it's possible. I don't think it's possible. I don't believe it's possible. I know that it's real. And whilst I don't do regular pet sittings or anything like this, it's not my thing. There are people out there who will do it, but you don't need that. You can learn to get the same signs. Go watch some of those videos that I have on signs of the afterlife. You'll get the same signs. You know, your pet is animated by the same force that animates you. And when you've created that bond and that bond of love exists, it will never be put asunder. It will never break. Just like your loved one on the other side, whether it's your mum, your dad, your sibling, your friend, anybody, that bond is still just as strong. And sometimes stronger, because your pets don't judge either. They accept you for who they are unconditionally, who you are unconditionally. Sometimes that's the way that you really accept them as well, and that's what you love. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'll leave you with that. There's lots more that I could say. I hope it gives you a little bit of comfort to realize that you haven't lost your pets either, that they do exist. Read the article that I've getting. I'm going to be doing another article in Paranormal Daily News, actually, but or on my blog about pets and a little bit more. But, you know, share your stories. I really want to hear your stories. Yeah, I've worked in missing pet cases. I've taken part in some scientific tests, etc. And that's all well and good. But I love to hear your stories. So share your stories with me of how maybe your pets communicated, how you have received those signs from your pet, whether it was in your mind, whether it was objectively, whether you heard something, whether you heard their weird bark. I had a colleague who was telling me a story about his friend's dog had a weird kind of muffled bark because there was something wrong with the throat, and the dog had passed and they heard that same sound. So, let me share your stories with me. Let me listen to your stories, and let's share in that, and let's bring our memories of our beloved pets into our hearts just as much as they are with our loved ones, and realize that it can be quite healing to realize that your pets don't just disappear and there's nothing more. I know recently when Sheila came through and visited, the first thing, you know, we've had evidence of is that she's with her dog Rory, and so they're on the other side, and that's a beautiful thing to think about. So think about that, guys. Thank you for listening to me. I'm looking forward to hearing about all of your stories, And make sure that you subscribe. If you haven't subscribed, make sure you if you want to, you can message me. Let me know if you're enjoying the podcast. Then please also maybe leave a review on iTunes or anything else. And again, just that announcement that the anybody who's looking for Sittings of Me now will only be able to get it through my group. But there will be, in 2025, there is going to be a four-day retreat that will be coming up. And I will be giving announcements to that soon. And that four-day retreat will be very small, very private. It will be restricted in numbers. But if you're interested in that retreat you want to be part of that, then reach out and let me know. Been trying to do that for the last couple of years. A lot of things have put us to the side, but that will be happening next year, and I, for one, will be looking forward to it. So, God bless, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being with me today, and I can't wait to hear your stories. Bye. Thank you for tuning in to the Pillars of Grief with me. If you've found this podcast helpful, please consider subscribing so that you never miss an episode. Also, leaving a review can help others find the show and receive the guidance they need on their journey through grief. I appreciate your feedback and look forward to hearing from you all. Join my free online support community for those grieving and connect with others who understand what you're going through. I offer you a spiritual blessing and hope you will join me on the next episode. Till then, open your mind and allow the power of the divine to transform your grief to spiritual realization. God bless.